We're
Am I ready?
I mean, it's whenever salsa hits go.
I hit it a long time ago. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Afrofilm Nerd Podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna,
and special guest,
Brinberry Hill.
I waited for the pause, but then I didn't hear you, and I don't know if it's lag or because you didn't do it. So then I did it, but then you also did it.
It was very insane. It was very impressive.
It was perfectly in time.
Oh, really?
Was it really? Because mind-blowing.
It was really
I'm pretty sure that didn't work on Salsa's end. Like, the recording will sound like shit, but
not
it was fantastic.
Oh, it was great.
It was glorious stereo.
I figured that you guys were playing a prank on James and leaving him out of it. Because you had, talked about doing it beforehand.
We don't plan things.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenna does.
That's true.
Accurate.
But the way that she plans things is by not involving Salsa and myself so that they will happen on time.
Fair.
Yes, usually. Yeah.
That's fair.
Right.
That's project manager one.
What is this? Is this three-peat for you yet, Bryn? Or is this... number two or
three?
You are a three-peat now.
I think so.
At least three, if not more.
Three or four, I want to say.
Right, same.
I'm sure somebody who cares out in the world, has been keeping track. But oh well.
Senpai.
Yeah, senpai.
So, what you been drinking?
I am currently drinking a Dr. Pepper with creme de cacao in it.
Okay.
Because chocolate, goddammit. In any form I can take it. And if it's chocolate and booze, even better.
Nice.
A
Doc Choc.
Ooh, Doc Choc.
Very
Dr.
nice.
Dr. Choc, like Dr. Ock, but...
Yeah, like Doc Ock, but
yeah,
but better for.
But you can break. You can take the tentacles and munch on them, like an Easter bunny.
That's weirdly sad.
Huh. I'd do it,
especially on Shark Week.
Yeah.
Darn it! Darn it!
We are drinking East Lake Brewery's Almond Milk Stout.
Which, there's a story behind this one, because actually there's a story behind both parts. I have a friend who is vegan, and she does a vegan podcast, Ashley Nicole Rice, and podcast, it's a YouTube channel. And so I bought this vegan milk stout thinking, wow, a vegan milk stout. I've never seen that before. And it's right on in the... Midway Market, or what's it called? Global Market, Midway Global Market. And I loved it. She hates beer, so she didn't like it. But both her husband and I enjoy it, and it tastes... Mm-hmm. It. You would never know that it's vegan unless somebody told you. And
I feel like I'm with your friend on this one, because I also don't like beer. So I'm like, that would be amazing if I liked hops.
Right.
But also, they do delivery via bike. And we get a weekly, six...
We have a subscription.
We have a subscription to it. And the bike riders are awesome and wonderful. And then we're putting in Screwball, which is my takeaway from... not Bryant Lake Bowl. What's the one that just closed down?
Chicago Lake?
No.
Liquor?
No. Where Double Blind used to be.
Oh, Honey.
Honey. Yeah.
Wait, pause. When you said, oh, honey, it sounded like you were disappointed for Bryn. Like, oh, honey.
Yes.
It's both.
Also.
But the bartender there introduced me to Screwball peanut butter whiskey and would, give me a shot of it if I bought a dark beer from time to time so I could have a peanut butter porter.
Mm.
It's very sentimental. This is a very sentimental drink.
Aww.
Isn't most beer vegan?
No,
it was an almond milk stout. So instead of a dairy, with dairy in it, it was a stout with non-dairy
milk
in it.
Milk stouts usually don't have milk in them either.
What do they have in them?
They have lactose in them, I guess, but it's not. Well, but it's not milk.
Is it from an animal?
That's a good question. I don't actually know.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They have a pistachio cake vegan stout as well. That's really good as well.
So they have to use fake pistachios.
I guess I missed that it was a milk stout the first time around, and I was like, most beer is vegan by
default.
It's a vegan milk
stout.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are you drinking, Salsa?
I'm drinking a dark and stormy right now. I've got my ginger ale and my rums.
Yum.
So, there we go.
Yep, that's about it.
Yo.
Yeah.
So, what's everybody been up to?
My neighborhood is still on fire, you guys.
Still?
Yeah, because of the heat and everything and whatever batteries or whatever the fuck is going on at Uncle Hugo's, it was on fire again today.
Oh, wow.
That place just does not want to go quietly into the night, does it?
No. Fuck this.
I respect that so much.
You're cool. Right? Except that it's not. Like, every time Uncle Hugo throws a fire tantrum, this is the fourth fire tantrum, by the way, since the original burning. I'm fine with that in concept, like if it wants to raise a stink, but it's actually stinky because the smoke is 500 feet away from me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the latest update on it is that they put out the fire proper, but it might still smoke for a few more days. So,
we'll see.
Anyway, so Uncle Hugo's is on fire again. Oh, also, I cut Joe's hair.
Oh,
do tell.
That was a trust exercise and a half.
Did you give him a Benadryl first, or
no? He's not allergic to his own hair, or at least if he is, it kind of doesn't matter since it's always there.
That's not what I would have used it for, but that's the point.
So I cut his hair, and I did a pretty good job of it. It wasn't, you know, Jenna level, like 100% perfection type thing. Like, every once in a while, I'll be like, I could have done that page just a little bit differently. Or, you know, things like that. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But it met the requirements Joe made, which was not on his neck and not tickling his ears. So, yeah. Win.
Did you just shave him bald?
No, I like it when he has the hair on top that I can pull on a little bit.
So a mohawk.
No, it's not a mohawk. It's the regular haircut he gets. It's just shorter than it was originally.
See, I was picturing an inverse tonsure.
Oh.
We actually talked about that, and I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to show up for like a month or so. So, you know, whatever. Like, I'm just going to go. So I love my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very difficult man to do a haircut for when you are not a professional. And it's not that he's overly particular. It's that he is, like, one of the reasons why he wants the hair above his ear line is because it tickles his ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's very skin sensitive to hair. So as you're cutting his hair, all of these little short hairs go all over.
And tickle him and he wiggles.
Tickled by his own goddamn short hairs. And like every 2 minutes he was like, I have to fix this just a second. And I'm like, stop moving. I'm trying to figure out a line, goddammit.
Being tickled by your short hairs means something different, Jenna.
I don't understand.
Oh, see, when a man reaches a level of puberty, his dick grows hair. When most humans that aren't James reach puberty, they grow hair in,
you lost me,
in erogenous zones, and those are called short hairs,
like on their ankles.
Yes.
Ooh,
ankle biter.
Anyway, so yeah, like every 2 minutes he would be like, I've got to brush the hair off, and I'm just like, I'm trying to every time you do this, I have to like reassess where I'm at with everything, and this is so frustrating. But we got through it. And now his hair doesn't tickle his ears or the back of his neck. So win.
Very nice. Excellent.
Yay.
Yeah, I commend you on, in Joe's words, not making a trumpet.
Yep, don't trumpet it.
Yep.
Was the thing. He called this very salsa.
Go and tweet about it?
No.
And lie?
No, that's making me real.
No, it's a Joe story about how he was supposed to do a school project, and it was supposed to be like kind of an art project.
I've heard the story,
he made a trumpet out of felt, and it was supposed to be very just like geometric kind of thing, like dusting.
No.
And then
no.
He kept trying to make it more and more like a trumpet and then just kind of fucked it up.
Yep.
It's where you try to get so hard for perfection that you end up fucking the thing up.
Yeah.
That's trumpeting it.
Yeah.
Only, you know, when he tells the story, it's three times longer than that. and has more detail, like, let's be fair. But yeah. So
but
I did not.
Detail is what got him into that position, anyways. So.
Correct.
He's a better storyteller than a felt artist.
Does that make me a felt artist?
What?
No.
Oh.
I don't understand.
Only if I put my hand over your mouth.
And just leave it there for the rest of the show.
Brandon, now you have a job.
No,
you feel it? Now you're a felt artist.
No, leave your hand there. Don't.
Now I get it. No, I'm sad.
No.
Yep.
So, Salsa, what have you been up to?
I'm still here.
Yay.
I know, right?
Good work.
Not much, honestly. I did my work, and this last weekend we didn't do much. And whoa, we had a couple people over.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, we had a half distance social distance dinner party with my wife's sister.
Oh, yeah.
Just outside on our patio.
Yeah.
Were they excited to see her?
They're so excited. Everybody was very happy to see and be seen and just be able to interact with people. Yeah. So that was very nice. You know, we had a couple people over for dinner, and that was very pleasant. And then yesterday was balls hot, and so we played in the water for a while, and
nice,
yeah.
So we got my son got a slip and slide for his birthday.
Wow.
It's really nice. It's a 2-lane slip and slide, so the kids could like race each other and stuff like that.
Oh man.
So we set that up for the kids because it was really hot, and my wife was, you know, hanging out in the hammock all day, but I was like watching the kids play in the slip and slide, and I was suddenly like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I not?
I could be doing
in my exactly. Right. So I like went inside and got my swimsuit on. I was like, what the hell? and so I went on the slip and slide with them for a little bit, and it was
that's amazing. Yeah,
quite delightful. Bye.
Sounds so lovely.
Yeah,
it was a nice, relaxing weekend and week that we had, you know, which made me feel a little bit better because this weekend should have been, you know, Fire in the Shire / Siouxland.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was.
I mean, I've got fire in my shire.
Ha! I get this joke.
Oh.
That joke froze Salsa.
I was gonna say, Salsa, did you freeze
done.
Or is he just a gape? It turns out he's just a gape.
Not an innuendo, just like actually right over there I have fire. So
Oh.
And then suddenly Salsa is reanimated. So
there we go.
Yeah, so that was my weekend.
Yeah.
Yay.
We got together with some fearless folk and
Distance.
Yeah, not in person, but on the internet. We watched Cats.
Yeah, we did.
The movie Cats.
Yeah.
Movie should be in quotes.
All of Cats that should be
also in, quotes.
Yeah, watched.
But like separate quotes, not like.
Yeah.
Not like, quote, Cats the movie, end quote, but quote, no. Cats the quote movie. Yeah.
Is it as bad as the hype?
No. It is more disappointing than I was led to believe, but not as bad as I'd hoped.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It is actually a film.
But it's not bad enough to be good.
It's like off. It's unsettling because you'll see something and you're like, oh, that's kind of nice, and then they'll fuck it up like three more times, and then they put something else that you're like, oh, that's a really nice scene, and then they'll continue to fuck it up. So it's not something that you can relax into the horror of it.
Exactly. It's not bad enough to be good. It's just
right.
Yeah, uncomfortable.
Yeah. If I wanted a bad movie, I have better choices.
Oh yeah.
So
some fantastic bad movies out there.
Yeah, and I also played online games with friends.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for the Nintendo Switch, there's Resident Evil 5. They have actually a lot of the Resident Evils, but Resident Evil 5 you can play cooperatively with a friend, and the gameplay itself is decent, but there is nothing short of a significant problem with it, and it's going to exist whether you play it single player or multiplayer. And that is that it is set in Africa, and so it is special agents from a police task force assigned to murder zombies who are just black people for the most part.
So white people.
They didn't really think that one through.
White people murdering black people, and you're watching it. You're watching it during a pandemic.
During a pandemic,
and you're playing it during a pandemic.
So
not just a pandemic,
but like directly after the riots.
During a protest about police violence against black people.
So there's a protest, and then a virus breaks out, and you kill black people.
No. There's, like, in the real world, pandemic plus...
Salsa, I don't know if you knew this, but in the real world, we have both a pandemic and rioting happening.
No, but it's so in the game, too.
No, there's no rioting in the game.
Oh, I thought you meant in the game there was.
No, the black people are zombies, therefore the white... savior complex
right
male.
Okay, so we just have the pandemic and killing black people during a pandemic where people are killing black people.
Yes,
right.
Okay,
correct.
So why are you muddying the waters with the riot?
Oh my god,
Jenna, is this a ramp?
Yes, James, it's a fucking ramp.
Is this my failure?
Yes!
I think,
always!
No, it's both of your failures.
Oh, okay.
I think Salsa is mildly obtuse, and you are, in fact, describing a plate.
Okay.
So, anyway.
But,
like, I got it right away. But then again, I've had conversations with you about ramps before, so...
I've also never played Resident Evil, so I have no, like,
idea
of what you're talking about.
This game came out years ago.
I just know the first one. I played, like, the first... Yeah. Half hour of the first one,
and the main character is the same main character from the first Resident Evil. It's Chris Redfield.
Don't care.
But
so
the end result is that they've chosen an extremely inappropriate matchup it's just not, they made bad choices. And so I don't know if I can enjoy this game.
When was this game made?
At all. I want to say like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was still as problematic 2 years ago
yes.
as
oh,
it
no,
is.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I wasn't going to sit there and be like, oh, that's okay then. That was not where I was going with that. I was just curious as how tone deaf was this?
Yeah. Increasingly. The correct answer is it is increasingly tone deaf.
Jeez.
So it might be because I didn't know when I bought it. I hadn't played it on anything else, and I had forgotten that there was any contention because privilege. I was allowed to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And took that opportunity because I can. And
you just took it. You didn't ask anyone. You just took it.
Nope. Manifest.
So then you started playing it, and you were like, "Oh God!
The thing is, I wanted to give it a chance because my friend that was playing this with me, he was like, "Yeah," and they kind of fixed it, by making some people white.
No, they made some people Middle Eastern and
immediately
killed them in Middle
or
Eastern.
Like, I it's. This is what he told me, is that they realized it too late in development that it was going to be problematic and tried to fix it. And the more that I was playing it, I was like, this is not getting better.
If this is the improvement, though, just imagine how bad it originally was.
Right. So I don't, it's, I paid money for it, and I wish I could.
You could try to return it. Nintendo's pretty nice.
Yeah, I could.
Like, you could say, this is some racist bullshit, and I don't want to play this.
Yeah,
can I please trade it in for a different game?
Yeah, because you had a similar experience. not similar.
But, you know.
Bryn had an experience of returning a Nintendo game.
Yeah, and the guy was really nice. And spitballed a future game with him.
Yeah.
But,
What had happened was that she bought a game to get away from... Well, yeah, I was trying to lead into it and let you...
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I got a game that my friend had suggested. What was it? Now,
Fire Emblem Three Houses.
I can tell this damn story. What was the game?
Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yeah, that one. And I started playing...
She can hold her own damn door open, James.
Just, can you get the key?
You unlock this and turn it off.
I got it, and at the time I was really struggling with work, and I just needed an escape from teaching. All I needed was some, like, fantasy shit, and Fire Emblem sounded like it would be. Until I started playing, and they immediately made me a professor for some motherfucking reason that I can't figure out. And then I was like, okay, As long as, about a half an hour into gameplay, I had to create lesson plans, and I turned off, I literally was supposed to make, like, decide what my classes would be learning, probably for the reason of, like, upping their certain stats and shit, but I immediately turned off the game, and I just screamed and said, I can't play this. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. So I called Nintendo, and they were like, oof. Yeah, and I told them it was kind of like if he, as a call, like a desk call person, had bought a game about being a call.
started playing Papers, Please, or something like that.
Right.
Oh, God.
And so I said, you know, if we made it like Doki Doki, then perhaps that could be okay. But anyways, so I went to them, and they switched it for me. No problem. But this is some racist bullshit.
Yes, I think I'm going to
do that
and find a different game to play with my friends. I'm really excited about a game that's going to be coming out. I got an early access past to try it, and it's called The Captain Is Dead. And it's a video game version of a board game, which is supposed to be everyone taking on the roles of the crew members that are not the captain during the last 8 minutes of a sci-fi adventure. When, you know, wormholes and asteroids and the aliens are trying to kill you and all of this other stuff, and you're trying to get the warp drive to restart and invert the whatever, reverse the coil shooters, and in order to make the jump to light speed or whatever. And it looks phenomenal, and I'm hesitant to play it a lot because I don't want to find bugs, because I'm doing that in my daily life. Yeah. I don't want to take my engineering job home when I'm already working my engineering job from home.
That would be like getting a game where you be a teacher when your job is a teacher. That sounds awful.
Wow.
That sounds...
I would actually probably play Spreadsheets the game.
Oh, this is our shocked face, Jenna.
Project management the game.
I think that's like, just...
Isn't that, like, literally one of the games on your phone with the colors and the lines and shit?
Oh, the I Heart Hue?
Flow.
Flow, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you have several.
Yeah, and also Truth and Pen. Yeah.
Yes.
So this
I do what I love, and I keep doing it when I'm not paid to do it. So, like,
based on what I'm seeing, it looks like a cross between FTL and Space Team.
Yeah, that really is kind of what it seems like.
Okay.
Because it is.
And I joined their Discord, and they're super chill and really pleasant folks. Yeah, there's that. And then work-wise, I'm doing something that is really exciting to me right now, and I don't want to talk too much about it before we get a press release.
Uh-oh.
It is one part of our company working to create something that is going to help keep people and animals safe.
Huh.
And
it's called veganism?
Yes, that's what it is. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's vegan milk stout. it's a really exciting project, and my mixture of engineering and problem solving, along with having grown up working with horses and barns and things like that, is incredibly helpful for this project. So I really feel useful, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Oh, look at you, farm boy.
Good. Yeah.
He's cute.
Oh, God. Afraid of that.
But I'm trying to think. We also just finished watching Star versus the Forces of Evil.
Oh,
which,
damn.
The first season is kind of a Monster of the Week thing, but, like, all of the rest is just increasingly awesome.
And in-depth and complete story and character development into huge social justice issues.
Right.
It's impressive. Mm-hmm. Like Steven Universe sort of levels of social justice and beyond. So I'm very impressed by it.
Yeah. But it also, it's a little real right now.
It is.
For a short story, cartoon about hot dogs and
goblin dogs. Thank you.
Burrito songs. It's at times a little difficult right now.
Yeah. But I like it.
It is good. It's really good. Like, it is really good.
Highly suggest.
And the animation is fantastic. So we're watching a lot of DuckTales, which Salsa's already talked about.
And Jenna.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Salsa's already talked about.
Even I was offended by that one, James.
Well, because Salsa talked about watching it with his kids. And so I remember.
So did Jenna.
Okay. What I remembered very particularly was that you saw Don Carnage, which was the most recent episode we watched.
Ah, okay.
And that's why, yes. I knew that Jenna had also watched it.
So correct yourself now before you continue to dig down. Dig up.
I spent a lot of time being an idiot.
This is something that I believe.
Surprising no one.
Yeah. I finally saw Infinity War.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you think?
Cliffhanger.
Nice.
Yeah, nobody tell them what happens.
Oh, yeah.
I know what happens.
Twitter and all of you
spoiled it.
I actually,
it's not spoiled because it'll still be good.
When Endgame came out,
the movie hasn't changed because I know what happens.
When Endgame came out, I made a very, very harsh disclaimer that nobody is to make to spoil anything because A, I hadn't seen it. B, that's not okay. C, I control this classroom, so good luck with your grades. But I didn't really say that. I didn't really say that.
She totally did.
It doesn't fucking matter this year anyways. But are you going to watch Endgame soon, Salsa?
Probably not.
What?
Well, I have to still watch Cloak and Dagger, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, are you doing the timeline?
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Both seasons. Season 2 of Runaways, season 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think then I'll finally get to Endgame.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Cloak and Dagger. That was.
I don't know if I'll be able to watch it.
Why?
Because it's not on Netflix or Disney Plus.
It's not?
Nope.
Oh.
That's strange.
It's only on Hulu, I think.
Ah.
So, I might have to miss it.
Yeah.
Aww. Sadness.
Oh, well. Not the end of the world. I can't be arsed to give a shit if people tell me how a movie ends.
Yeah.
Like I said, the movie hasn't changed. It's still a good movie.
Yeah.
If it's a good movie. Or if it's not a good movie, it's not a good movie.
Greg Ayers, the voice actor, made a really good point about that. Because somebody accidentally spoiled something really big that had just come out that he was in during a panel. They asked, such and such character dies at the end of this series that was released less than a month ago and has 48 something episodes. Do you think they'll make a sequel, and how do you think they would do that? And the whole room collectively gasped. And he was like, oh, damn. Okay. Well, all right, so everybody here just found out. Some people were probably still watching that or about to. And then he told a story about his director had been keeping the end of this series a secret from him so that the reactions would be natural.
Mm-hmm.
He accidentally found out this spoiler about his character's death. And he went to his director and he's like, is this true? Like, is this what's going to happen? And the director was like, you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know why it's going to happen, and you don't know how it's going to happen. And those, more than the death, because everyone dies at some point, everyone's going to. or they're immortal. But either way, what you need are the details, and you don't know anything about it. So
yeah,
and like he made a good point. Even if you know some parts of it, seeing it will still have impact.
Right, that's what I've been saying.
But I also understand people being.
Oh yeah, no, I try. I understand. Like, I understand people that don't want to know what's happening. I get it. I try not to be an asshole. I try not to do spoilers myself.
Yeah.
But I just don't give a shit at all myself.
For you. Yeah.
For you.
So when people are like, "Oh no, you spoiled for you," it was like it really wasn't.
Yeah. Sure.
So. But yeah, so I finally saw.
Well, now I'm gonna go over to your house and leave the milk out so that something's spoiled for you.
Okay, I mean, I don't drink it, but my kids do. So you're a terrible person.
Oh, God.
You don't use it for baking?
I guess I do use it for baking.
Or milk stout.
Today was the last day of school.
Yeah.
For me. It was a lot.
Yeah, my wife still has a couple days yet.
Yeah, well, we have a couple teacher days, but our last day of student contact.
Oh, student contact for both of my kids and my wife was Friday.
Yeah. That's what it should have been. But
oh, you had to make up a day or...
I don't fucking know, but
you should probably know these things.
Whatever.
Well, I guess kids haven't been in school recently.
Why not? Bunch of delinquents.
Well, and then the.
If only there was somebody we could call to report that.
Not the fucking police anymore.
Wow. We're not even gonna spit on it first. We're just gonna dive in.
No, we're raw dogging this.
Oh God.
Well,
we all had to feel it raw, and now you do too.
Here's the deal: a bunch of teachers had issues marking any of our kids absent because they come from families of color, and it is illegal to not have your kid in school for a certain number of days. So. We didn't.
Oh, I
think I made sure that none of my
Bryn, you chopped out for what? You chopped out for a little bit there.
Okay. Anyway, so not to worry, but okay. Anyway, so today was our technical last day. My school had a parade, like a social distancing parade, but the teachers would set up little tents and have signs, and students and their families could. Drive by and see the signs and wave out of the car. I didn't go because I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And they made it very clear, like, you don't have to. We highly encourage it, but you don't have to. I don't know how many people actually showed up, but I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. So I did not get closure for this year. I had... 3 kids come on to Google Meets to say hi. Random talking bye, essentially.
One of your students told you that they think you're the best.
No, they didn't say that. They said I've made things fun, and they could have been, like, just saying that.
And that you were great.
But whatever.
And that they liked being your student.
Fine.
James, they were saying they have regrets.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
But yeah, so I'm going to be doing some things over the summer, like every Wednesday holding an anime club and things like that. But I don't know if kids are going to show up. Ba-ba-da. So we'll see. We shall see.
Woo!
Indeed. Should we take a break?
I think we better have.
Yeah. Is that a thing
I'm
should
gonna
do?
I'm going to go stand in front of the AC for 5 minutes.
Okay. We're gonna take a break and everybody cool off, because by the way, it's fucking hot right now.
Yes.
And then we'll be back in a little bit.
Yes.
ladies and gentlemen. Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
All right.
Yeah?
In that case, let's do it. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Bryn.
Woo! Yay! Woo! I love that. James was drinking, and he's like, oh, shit, fuck. Yeah, I'm James.
Before we get to our topic at hand, I just want a quick update to everybody who is following this. I have, for the third time, ordered a bidet. And this time I actually have a shipping number. So hopefully this time we'll actually get one.
Oh, your butthole's gonna be so clean.
Yeah?
Cool. Also right now it feels amazing.
Yeah, no, I absolutely can't wait. It's just been yeah. So that's
Well, congratulations on your shipping number.
Yep.
It's something he's looking
along the lines. What?
It's something he's looking backward to.
Hand is going back good. Over the mouth.
Good. Oh wow, that's why I was talking him over him. Okay.
Jenna, are you gonna say the thing I think you're gonna say?
Probably. Do you wanna say it?
Well, you go ahead.
You actually did the thing. I did not do the thing.
Okay. So, remember a few months ago when we talked about the diamond pixel art thing that Eric Thompson, curse the French,
it's Eric Thompson's birthday today.
Yes, it is!
Yes!
Happy birthday!
Birthday!
All right, we hate you slightly less today.
Fair. Yeah.
But anyway, he told
us. What do the French do for their birthdays anyway?
What is it?
You give them a 24-hour ease of, like, laying off of him?
They drink wine and eat baguettes.
They get a crepe Suzette with a single lit cigarette.
That sounds amazing. I mean,
it sounds like a sex worker.
Crepe Suzette.
That sounds amazing. Anyway. I'm in.
So we you know, how a bunch of us ordered things and then the website disappeared and we didn't have triangle numbers.
Yeah,
that whole thing. Well, we have an update. One of our listeners posted on Facebook that miraculously their diamond pixel art thing had shown up on their doorstep.
Ooh.
Hey.
And Eric Thompson. Curse the French. He checked the tracking number that he had, and there was activity. In fact, it was slated to be delivered that day.
What?
And I was like, what is this? And so I checked my tracking number, and my tracking number had activity. It should be delivered sometime this coming week, supposedly. So, perhaps we weren't scammed at all. Now I would absolutely love to say maybe they're not a scam at all, you should go there and order something, but their website's gone and they don't exist anymore. Yeah. So it's kind of moot at this point, but an update that perhaps we weren't scammed after all. So yay.
Aww, best bedtime story ever.
What's that?
USPS has been so overloaded right now.
Well, I think I think the problem was is where it was coming from. You know, it was a place going out of business, obviously, which is why they were selling stuff for free anyway. And so I think that was just one of those, like, we have no staff and we're just going to get to this whenever we get to it.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
The real scam was in you the whole time.
Oh, God.
And that's the story of Christmas.
I want to say, so as a side note on shipping stories, I've been getting little to no shipments here because my neighborhood's down.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what it is. Like, no, I'm not going there. No, that's fair. I get it.
animal interference.
Oh, yeah, that's racist.
Oh, I wasn't taking it there. You took
no,
it.
James,
no.
This isn't making sense to our listeners. This wasn't what I was going to talk about, but I'll talk about this, and then I'll go back to what I was going to talk about. Bryn has been expecting a shipment, and it was supposed to be here on Saturday, and she got notified that it is not delivered because of animal interference. And so I got a message from Bryn saying, did you get a dog? No.
I would be allergic.
Also, the landlord would not have that unless I spelled out another like $18,000 for the damn thing, and that's not happening. I mean, maybe it was Rosie. Maybe it was Rosie. But yeah, anyway. The story I was going to tell is that I had placed an order with Target on Lake Street on March 26th.
Well,
and I got an email today telling me that my order had been delayed, but that I would get it tomorrow. And I'm like, really, Target? Really, Lake Street Target? Really? For anybody not local, Lake Street Target was the Target that was burned down across from the 3rd Precinct. I get this email that it's been delayed. I'm like, No, I kind of figured that one out on my own, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah.
So we're just going to lie?
Is that what we're doing today?
Lying?
Well, no, they're telling the truth. It has been severely delayed. Yeah, when you're watching the news for your tracking updates. Jesus.
Like, and I had placed this order, and I've been like, every once in a while, I'm like, I wonder if that's actually coming. Britt, I got a new hand soap dispenser because fuck that thing. But it was 4 lovely years, but nah. Anyway, so like I ordered a new hand soap dispenser.
Really awful years.
God, that'd be really nice if I got that. Lake Street Target burned down. It might be a while. They might just never send it to me. I don't even think I'm gonna bitch about it, frankly, because you know they burned down. And then got this email, and I was like, "Oh yeah, all right,
nice."
Anyway, shipping.
I'm excited. I just ordered a bunch of crap from American Science and Surplus,
which is
one of my favorite places to get catalogs from because their catalogs are filled with puns.
It's awful. It gives him ammunition. it's a magazine.
You have a job right now.
It's basically an Axeman magazine. It's like a catalog Axeman.
With puns.
But with puns. So they had these little tiny test tubes with corks, and they said, now on sale, slightly evil, or at least a little vile. I love it. All of their stuff is like that, and their catalogs are all...
I'm not laughing at your audience. I'm laughing at Salsa and Jenna's faces.
Right.
Of deadpan. Why? And then Jenna's arm going out and saying, like, pointing to get the fuck out.
Instinctually pointing to get out.
And he knows what exit that is, too.
Yes, I do. The catalog is amazing. The products are super fun. I support them. I think they're wonderful. I ordered some useful things. And I'm excited to receive them.
If you ever receive them, because we live a block away from the 5th Precinct.
Also that.
Right.
Someday.
Which isn't nearly
out in salad days to come.
Which isn't nearly as hazardous as my other home, which is a block away from the 3rd Precinct, or a couple blocks away from the 3rd Precinct. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
We're farther away from 3rd Precinct here.
Yeah, you know what I mean. 5 minutes away from the 3rd.
But we are, 500 feet from a still-burning building again.
That
repeatedly, over and over again.
No. It just refuses to die.
You know what? I've decided it's a battleground for the Fire Nation.
Ah. Sweet say.
Yeah, thank you. I've been rewatching Avatar The Last Airbender. I had rewatched so much Steven Universe that I was like, I might actually need a break from Steven Universe. So, I've been rewatching Last Airbender. I haven't watched it. Well, okay. I watched through it once with Bill.
Oh.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm finally starting to get back into shows that I had watched with Bill because that is hard. But Jessa keeps rolling her eyes at me because I'm like, so that one's Prince Fire Nuts. That one's Donkey. Like, Mom, they have names. I'm just like,
Prince Fire Nuts.
But I'm about halfway through book two right now. Yeah. And I bring this up because it is such a good cartoon.
Yes.
It is not DuckTales.
Mm-mm.
Which I have talked about previously and at length, James. However,
I said I was an idiot.
It's still delightful. But it is, and it's got very, very silly moments, but it is, and it is very heartfelt, but it is also darker,
mm-hmm.
In various ways, and handles a lot of, it's, I don't know, man, there's no Perky Steven. So.
I mean, Aang is probably the closest thing you get to Steven. He would be the Steven of the show, but the show takes a much more grounded approach to the world, which grounds the entire show.
Airbender grounded.
That. Which is the problem? Which is the problem? Right.
So I know, Bryn, you have cosplayed.
I have.
As a waterbender.
Yeah, my first cosplay was Katara, and I made it for my first Convergence, my first con ever. And I ended up getting shanghaied into doing the masquerade. What? You're making a face.
Is shanghaied a word that we're using?
Is it not?
I thought that was a word we're not using anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you. Yeah.
Anyway.
Stolen away.
Wrangled.
Wrangled, thank you. I didn't know that, thank you. Wrangled into doing the masquerade, and I got, Judge's Choice for performance.
Nice.
And I do waterbending with Silk Poi. So.
Which is, it's awesome to watch.
Which is not a food, I've learned.
I mean, it is a food. It originated, but never mind. But yes.
Oh my god.
Continue. But yeah, I am I've kind of gone back and forth about whether I'm an airbender or waterbender. I've decided that I am a waterbender because I can absolutely turn to ice if need be. Just watch me in my classroom.
I love watching Kelsa's face while we're discussing this without actually having described anything of what this is about.
Oh yeah.
Bryn, I would call you an expert on this. I think you should talk about the world of Avatar.
Okay.
Are you asking our guest to talk?
So
yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, okay.
It's wonderful. So,
I understand what like you're talking about because my kids are watching it and so I like know what's happening, but
do you know what it's
not
grounded
any
in?
Of those things.
What?
It's like the Harry Potter houses, only
yeah.
Harry
yeah,
Potter.
Yeah, you're not a wizard either.
Oh my god, Salsa. I'm also not a red panda, but I'm allowed to identify with that an awful lot.
My name is also not Myers or Briggs, but I'm still an INTP. So, like...
Yeah, you know that whole Myers-Briggs things is bullshit, too.
It's not bullshit, it is outdated and limited.
I mean, the two words are similar.
I'm also not a number, but I am a 7 on the Enneagram. So moving on, Avatar The Last Airbender.
I'm done with Tello.
Avatar The Last Airbender is wonderful because they, like, one of the first things that you note about it is that the bending styles are based off of martial arts, but they literally took 4 different styles of martial arts to create the different bending styles. 5 if you count Toph.
I thought they were taken from 4 different nationalities.
Somewhat. You,
like,
you
Fire Nation is Japan, Water Nation is Aleuts.
Mm-hmm. You see a lot of...
Earth, yeah, I...
You see a lot of the echoes of different places in, like, the Asianic kind of area in each of the nations, but with the martial arts as well, they took them from different places. So,
okay, I didn't know that.
So firebending and earthbending are both. Firebending and earthbending are both external martial arts, which in martial arts terms means that you go from power on the outside going to inward power. So you learn about the external power before you learn about the internal power, which you can see a lot in firebending and earthbending. Both of them are styles of kung fu that come from China-ish area. Both of them are from separate families of kung fu, but they are both kung fu. Except for Toph, who learned from the original Earthbender, she has a completely different style, and I can't remember what it's called right now, but they actually modeled her particular style off of a different kung fu style, or style of martial arts. I'd have to look that up again. Airbending is based off of Bagua. The reason why they chose the one kid in the actual Avatar, well, not actual, sorry, the dead unnamed hollow Avatar movie was because he was the only kid who matched the description of Aang, who had mastered Bagua. This is a martial art that is very evasive. They have they train around a circle and train to be always behind their opponent and always going around their opponent so that they can use their opponent's weight against them. Waterbending is Tai Chi. Both Bagua and Tai Chi are internal martial arts, which means that you learn about the internal power before you enact it for the external power. Sorry, Jenna was right. I studied up.
This
a
is
bit
a
about
pretty
this.
Common occurrence.
Yeah,
I love it.
Causing no one.
So what's really interesting about how they did that, though, is that the internal martial arts styles, the air and the water bending, are both their philosophy and personality type are both very internal. They aren't act first, think later, except for airbenders are very evasive. So the internal martial arts are very evasive, use your enemy's power against them, whereas firebending and earthbending, the kung fu styles, are very much like use your power their power against them as well. However, there's a lot more, like, you know, elbows to the face than in Bagua or in Tai Chi. It's so good. Watch it. It's so good. Oh, I love Avatar. Yeah.
If I was a nation, which nation would I be? Name me, Bryn.
I could see you in the water camp with me. But probably more of an earthbender.
I disagree.
What do you think?
I fire.
I could accept fire too.
I always have a hard time placing myself, so I've just started asking everybody else what
That's
nation
fair.
I am.
I think fire would make a lot of sense for you. The reason why I said Earth is because of how grounded you are in facts and in, like, spreadsheets and planning, and when you need to get something done, you get shit done. Not that firebenders can't do that either, but there's a very systematic way of doing it that I think is very, like, no, this is how we're doing it. let's move forward. What do you think, Salsa?
Sure.
More fire.
More fire.
Okay, what am I then?
Hmm?
What nation do you think?
I'm pretty sure you're water. You're just water. You are water.
Gosh, thanks. I think James is an earthbender.
I would agree with that.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No explanation for you, Sweeney.
Nope. And that's nope. Okay.
He is a man of the earth.
And Salsa's just a firebender.
You know.
I'm really not.
No, by those descriptions, I would call Salsa probably earth as well, honestly.
Mm. Great, but because he works with fire, I just assume.
Here, this may surprise you, but I'm not a bender.
You sound like a date that I had once, and I'm not kidding.
Oh, God.
I have an entire story behind that.
No, that's,
you sound like a date I had once.
That's fine. Here's the thing. You can be whatever tribe you want to be. I'm not going to harsh your squee. But I'm not...
I would argue that even if you're not a bender, people have a different affinity for natural for natural things. So some people feel drawn to the water, some people feel drawn to the earth. Some
definitely
people
drawn
feel
to fire, that's for sure.
There. I win.
God.
I'm also drawn to cold temperatures. Because fuck
that doesn't
heat.
Mean anything.
I'm just saying, fuck this heat we've been having recently.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, even I'm disgusted with the heat today.
It got up to like mid-70s. Fuck that.
What?
No, it was in the 90s.
It was 95.
I haven't been outside in a few days.
It was 95 today.
Yeah. I didn't go outside.
Smart.
Then.
Yeah.
Why are you saying fuck that?
Because it's fucking hot outside.
Fine.
Never mind.
I feel similarly.
You went outside today. You have an excuse.
It was gross. It was sunny and beautiful and disgusting.
It was just hot and sticky and it was heavy. It was a heavy heat.
Yeah, it just makes it makes you sweat and smell bad. Who wants that?
Again, nostalgia for Adventures in Cardboard.
Fair. No, it's tough but fair. Yeah.
Everything in my body now is telling me I should be out there getting a tan and running around the woods. So not being able to do that is really difficult.
You could do that all by yourself without
nobody stopping you. Yeah, just wear a mask.
No, but there are so many people out there in the woods that are not wearing masks.
Yeah, that's why I said wear a mask.
There are people in the woods who are wearing weird masks.
I'd rather them be wearing a plague doctor mask than not. But yeah. So that's where I'm at with the heat. It is a nostalgia aching right now. But thankfully I'm gonna be a DM. So I probably never would have done that if it hadn't been for this. So
Cool.
We'll see.
Indeed.
Excitement.
All right, well, this conversation seems to be petering out, so...
I was just about to ask, do we feel like taking a break?
Nobody's saying no, so I guess we'll do that. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Whenever you're ready, I'll fire at will.
And we're back. Hey, James, also.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And how about a fast five?
Fast five.
Whoa, Salsa.
What?
You barely let Bryn talk.
Yeah.
Sorry, she's sitting next to James. I'm used to it.
Oh, no, that's fair.
So, like, in respect for letting me talk, you're going to let me come up with the fast five, right?
In laziness, I'm going to let you do the fast five.
Fast five.
Don't put it that way. I want to hear something a little bit more satisfying for me for doing the fast five.
I feel like if you're looking for shame or remorse from me, you're going to be waiting for a while.
That's fair. But like, you could build me up instead.
Yeah.
So because we don't have any fast fives currently, Bryn was gracious enough.
Bryn was a sucker enough to write some fast fives for us.
Gracious enough to write some fast fives for us, and she did it very, very quickly too.
Ta-da! Thank you, Jenna.
You're welcome, Bryn.
I knew I liked you for a reason. At least one. Okay. So, number one. Screw. Oh, you have a sound effect. Wait, hold on. Number one. Screw or sun?
Screw or sun?
Correct.
I prefer screws to the sun.
I told you these were fucking
random. Wow. What would that even?
I've never got a tan from a screw.
If you've never gotten a friction burn from a screw, though, you're doing it wrong.
First time was rug burn.
True.
Let's see.
And
I'm gonna go screw.
Jenna had a date like that. I'll pick screw off.
So many.
You said screw?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would much rather screw my wife than sun my wife.
Moving on. Mead number two. Keep forgetting you have sound effects. Mead or brownies?
Mead.
I have a subtle feeling about this.
Is it because we live together?
It might be. I have a feeling that is the case. mead.
So mead all around?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah. Number three. Octopus or seaweed?
Octopus. Yep,
I would rather eat seaweed.
Oh, bring on the octopus. Nom, nom, nom.
Nope.
I would rather eat seaweed, but an octopus is really cute. So seaweed.
Cool. All
right. Seaweed.
We're checking through this. Number four.
Hey.
Glass or jar?
Glass.
Volcano dose. If I'm going to drink WAP, I'm going to do it from a jar and not from like a fancy wine glass.
My wife drinks her wine from a mason jar and I fucking hate it.
In El Paso, it's not like a classy wine.
I drink my wine from a mason jar, too.
No, it absolutely is from a box, and that's fine. Here's the thing. We own glasses.
It's a teacher thing. It's just,
it reminds me, I knew somebody who worked at a super fancy wine place and would bring home like half bottles because they couldn't sell more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And these bottles were like $500 bottles.
Sure, yeah.
Wow.
And they just had a fucking fridge full of them. And so all of the roommates got together and they're like, yeah, we got to drink these. No matter how fancy
the room is. Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know. We got to fuck these up because otherwise they will go bad because they've been open.
Yeah.
And so they went on a 3-day fucking bender. In the meantime, this guy that works at the place is working and staying with his girlfriend, and he comes home to find that there are like 3 bottles left in the fridge, and he's like, "All right, well, fair play.
I just drank $10,000 worth of wine."
Right.
Very actually, yeah, but not mad in any way, but just like, "Oh, all right." And he starts to pour this red wine that's like a $700 bottle, whatever, into a coffee mug, and they're like, "We have glasses." And he looks at them over the mug and is like, "Those are white wine glasses."
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And then drinks out of the coffee mug. "Those are white wine glasses, you fucking animals." That's what it was.
This is the part that bothers me. This is the part that bothers me. My wife wants all of our plates to match. We need a matching set of plates. We need a matching set of forks. We need a matching set of all these shit. And then she sets a fucking mason jar on the table with her drink.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's super shabby chic. That's actually...
No. It's just... It's not shabby chic. That's bullshit. It's trailer trash.
Now I need to get your wife.
I will have things like when I got my service award for Vilification Tennis, 15 years on the cast of Vilification Tennis. I brought that plaque home, and my wife looked at it and went, "You know that's hanging in the bar, right? We're not hanging that anywhere up here because that's tacky." But a fucking mason jar for dinner, that's not your decision to make.
You eat glass. You would literally have a mason jar for dinner.
I did actually get Steve those mason jars on a stem, though.
Yeah.
Yes!
How fucking tacky is that?
Okay, so back into a parking space and then talk to me about what
the... Oh my god.
And a hot dog is not a sandwich, it's a taco.
Oh my god.
Now, obviously, my wife is allowed to make whatever decision she wants to make. She is allowed to eat from whatever she wants. She's allowed to drink from whatever she wants. This is up to her. I don't have a say in that. That's fine. That doesn't mean I don't fucking hate it.
I am so happy. I am so incredibly happy.
Oh.
Yes. We managed to piss off Salsa.
My heart is warmed.
Whenever my shit's tacky, it's gotta go downstairs. But her tacky shit gets to go in our cupboard.
I actually don't find mason jars tacky personally, but I love that it pisses you off so badly.
Yeah, I'm just gonna bring more mason jars over now.
Okay, hold on. For the sake of accuracy, they are ball jars, not mason jars.
Oh, you son of a bitch. That changes everything.
How dare she?
I can imagine that you would be totally comfortable with balls at the table.
Oh, absolutely. But not the container that they come in.
Like,
What?
Salsa, Lord. Where do you eat dinner?
Off of my nutsack. Where do you eat dinner?
Ah, ew.
I eat dinner off of Salsa's nutsack also.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
He loves it when I put the creamy topping on.
How are you doing, Jenna?
I need more booze.
Question five.
Oh, thank God.
Old or new?
Old.
What sort of mason jar do you enjoy drinking your wine out of?
Old. Okay.
I tend to have, I like retro things. I have nostalgia.
Yeah, you do.
Now, if you had said old or young, it would have been different.
Woo.
Yeah.
Don't shame her.
What?
She's not wrong.
My last name is literally young.
By something completely unrelated to Jenna.
Okay. There you go. I still like old men. Okay.
Why are you dating James?
I mean, I'm talking about physically, not mentally.
Because I'm the closest thing to either of those things in this apartment.
I see.
I'll take that. Yeah, okay. Question one. Screw her son, Screwball, or Jameson? Peanut butter whiskey, Screwball, or classic Jameson?
Jameson.
Oh. I'll have to go Jameson because I can't have peanut butter.
That's fair.
Screwball.
Jameson. I love Screwball. All right. Question number two. Mead or brownies? Would you rather ingest your weed through mead or brownies?
I don't weed. It makes me sleepy.
That's fair, but still.
But if you were to.
I think I hear that you can get rid of the taste better through brownies than mead. Like there are ways to cook everything with the butter or whatever to sure. just
yeah
whatever. So I would probably brownies.
If what Jenna says is true and it kills the flavor, then brownies.
Yeah,
I think I would have to agree. And my hunch was right. But I still chose wrong.
All right. Question three. Octopus or seaweed? Would you rather have a scarf that is color oriented towards octopus or seaweed?
What the fuck does that even mean?
So would you rather
Sorry, Salsa. So other
neither one of those is a color.
What?
Neither one of those things is a color. What the fuck are you talking about?
Octopus has a color. Well, maybe not to you.
Oh.
They change color.
Right. So like rainbow-ish, like muddled colors of an octopus. Right?
No. They're not rainbow color. They change color. Those are two different things.
So, what would an octopus-colored scarf look like?
I have no fucking idea. That makes zero sense.
It would look like you're not wearing a scarf.
Which is what I would probably do, so I guess I'll go with that.
All right.
Seaweed.
I actually have a scarf that was made for Nettie that is seaweed colored.
Aww.
So there's your answer.
So it's
cool.
So it's seaweed. Brown.
Salsa is still confused.
Green.
Okay, so it's green.
It's lime yes. seaweed colored.
So why don't
or
you just say
newly
green?
Dead seaweed colored. What?
Why don't you just say green then?
Because it's a fast fucking five.
The specific shade of
How long have you been playing this game?
Longer than you have, James.
And yet.
So you're doing it wrong.
Four. Glass or.
Oh,
do you
want
to drink booze?
Go back. We missed it.
Hold up. Broken up. It broke up.
Question number four. What is it?
Okay. Question number four, glass or jar, which would you rather drink booze out of?
Glass! A jar is for storing things, not for drinking out of. That's what it's for. That's why it's got threads on the top, is for putting a lid on and storing it.
Selfish jar. Jenna, do you have an opinion?
A jar of salsa.
Oh, God. Oh, probably a jar.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if I drop it, it's less likely to break.
Oh.
That. And it's easier to clean. I'm always worried about breaking a glass, like a wine glass, when I'm cleaning it. But with a jar, you just fucking go at it.
So do you prefer plastic swords so in case you drop it, it doesn't cut something? Like, Siri, that's this.
Yes.
Why it...
That's why we have wooden swords out at fests, also.
That is fair.
Like, I do my whole shtick with wooden swords because I'm a merry peep and I challenge children to fight. Exactly.
Salsa, if I were drinking, yes, I would prefer a plastic or a wooden sword over a real sword.
Also, like, that.
Let's be clear. Yes. In fact, I have done kendo stick stuff while drunk.
I'm gonna let you know right now, no matter how much I've been drinking, I'm gonna swallow a metal sword over a wooden sword any day of the week.
I mean, that's fair.
That's fair.
you're talking about swallowing them because you're you?
And we're talking about swallowing beverages and you're using a fucking container. What?
Well, the shards of whiskey are not going to destroy my organs.
I love that Salsa is going to, you know, walk outside with a beer in a glass, and they're going to be like, excuse me, this is an open container? And he's like, no, this is a glass. If it were a jar, it would be an open container.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody in this fucking outfit finally understands me.
Oh, you brought Jenna. Well then.
I feel good about how today went. God damn it.
Jenna, do you want me to go on to the next one?
The laughter was actually for how incredibly happy that made me. I was like, oh no, James, don't encourage this. And then Salsa was so happy. And I'm just like, oh, God damn it.
Oh.
Where were we? What number was that?
Question five. Okay. Is next. Old or new video games?
I've never played a new video game.
Well, like 2010 and forward, or pre-2010, if we need to use them.
I'm gonna go old.
Fair.
Yeah. Old. I'm just like, yeah.
I actually like new because I didn't grow up with video game systems. My parents only got me a Game Boy Color at that point. And so old video games don't make logical sense to me because I didn't grow up with them and there's no nostalgia behind them. Whereas new video games have done a lot to curb that and to make fucking sense. So I would tend to prefer new video games because I don't have that nostalgia.
I disagree. I actually have an easier time with older video games. The new ones don't actually make sense to me. So,
yeah.
Like, give me an example if you can think of one.
Oh, God.
I'm just interested. You don't have to, but...
Like, okay, well, I mean, for me, more like text-based computer games and stuff like that. Ooh. I did not have consoles, but I did a lot of, like, Oregon Trail, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, things like that. But then also, The Speed of a lot of older video games is more my speed. Everything is so fast nowadays that I'm just like, what? I can't.
Yeah.
No.
They were much more turn-based when they were older.
Not even turn-based, just you're able to take your time. Whereas, like, there'll be things, and I don't know which video game I'm thinking of specifically, but, like, where, you know, or if this is even a specific video game, but, like, any of the racer stuff, like, yeah. I cannot keep up with all either. When you're doing attack stuff. A lot of it requires much faster reflexes than I have.
Right.
You have to be able to get through everything to be able to do that. Nope, I can't do it.
Right. Which is why I said turn-based, because turn-based usually pauses
but
for
it
you.
It doesn't have to be turn-based. Even the earlier stuff, you still had more time to have your reaction.
Fair.
Rather than you must have it right. Nope.
Fair. Makes too sense.
Bad. Heck up.
Makes sense.
I think especially with the dividing line 2010, 2010 means that I'm choosing between 40 years of video games or 10 years of video games.
But it's a very fast development of 10 years.
That's true, but it's still a 40-year back catalog that includes Tetris. And that includes even like Ico, Shadows of the Colossus, that include almost all of the Zelda games.
Yeah, fair. What if I were to bump it to 2000?
That would be a much harder choice.
Hey, 2000.
Probably new then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 2000 to 2010 is a very sweet spot for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm having a hard time with this one because for me, what's more important is genre than age.
Yeah.
Like, if it's an adventure game with a good storyline, it doesn't matter to me if it was made in the 80s or last year.
Yeah.
You know, that's more what I'm looking for is a story-rich adventure.
Sure.
And so I And because you changed it to 2000 instead of 2010, that makes it harder. Because again, I don't play new games because I just can't afford them. I usually wait until they're on sale on Steam, which means they're 10 years old or more.
Fair.
So I really have never played a quote-unquote new game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for that reason alone, I'm going to go old.
But what if I said 2000?
That does make it more difficult because, I mean, what I'm playing right now were all what would be considered new games, but I think a lot of the games that I play have their roots in old games.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like a lot of the, like for example, first-person shooters, you know, that is a more new concept in video games, you know, I know what you're saying, John, but we're starting with Doom, we're starting with Heretic, we're starting with Hexen, we're starting with Quake, we're getting into that
Marathon.
Area. Right, but before all of those games even were a twinkle in their developer's eye, we had the adventure games. We had, you know,
Zork.
We had Zork. It we had died. Space Quest, we had King's Quest, we had, you know, all of those types of games. We had those adventure games. We had the text-based adventure games rather than the first-person shooters. And I think the roots are further back for those types of games that I enjoy. And so for that reason, I think I'm going to go with old.
Yeah. Sure.
The reason why I ask is more of mechanical and versus... and like I love what Jenna brought up about how mechanically, the older games gave you more time.
Hold on. You cut out there for a second. You said mechanical versus...
I didn't cut out. I stopped myself in sentence. Mechanical versus nostalgia is kind of why I asked the question, because mechanically, video games make more sense and have more like guidance and more intuitive functions nowadays. For example, Kingdom Hearts. God, Kingdom Hearts. Like, going back, like, I played the first half of Kingdom Hearts when I was when it came out, and then my PS2 died, and then I never played it again until I played it recently, and I'm like, this is fucking awful. And not just story-wise, because it doesn't fucking make sense story-wise, but it's awful mechanically, because I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do. There's no, like...
The controls are pretty shitty for that game, I will admit.
Right, and so...
you just have to, like, wander around until you find...
Until you find it...
The thing.
By accident. And that's more of a mechanical thing on my part, whereas Kingdom Hearts is a very nostalgic game. So, like, if I was looking for more nostalgia, I would... look towards Kingdom Hearts 1. If I was looking for more mechanical, Kingdom Hearts 3 is probably going to be a lot easier. But what Jenna was saying is that it's easier to deal with the mechanics of older games because of the reaction time, which I thought was really interesting. But like for Ocarina of Time, I kind of gave up on Ocarina of Time as much as James really wants me to get through it, because I don't have very good like memory for maps. Whereas with Breath of the Wild, it is wonderful for me because it doesn't really fucking matter where I go. There, I can do whatever I want in wherever I want. And I think that if they remade Breath of the Wild, it would be more intuitive.
Ocarina?
Thank you. Ocarina of Time, it would be more intuitive than it was in its old version. So that's why I chose that, and why I think new, personally.
See, I grew up playing the adventure games like Space Quest and King's Quest, and I remember playing when my wife was teaching in Bemidji. I would go and visit her, and we would sit and we would play. What's it called? The Guybrush Threepwood ones.
Guybrush Threepwood, is that the Monkey Island?
Monkey Island.
Yes, we would play the Monkey Island games together, and I would sit there for hours trying to figure out the puzzle.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, that is how this game is played, is you figure it out. You puzzle through it, you try things, you fail a lot until you finally find the right configuration in the right place, and then haha, you break, you proceed. And my wife would 5 minutes later go hit the hint key, and I would be like,
yeah.
"What? No, we've only been at this for a few minutes." She's like, "Yeah, I can't figure it out. Hit the hint key." And it's just like, "But no, that's
not the point."
Very like different play style. Yeah,
well, that is directly counter to the point of the game. Like, if all you're going to do is hit the hint key over and over again, you're not playing a game, you're reading a story that's taking a really long time.
The point...
I actually agree with Salsa on this one.
The point of the video game is to play it in a way that you enjoy. Now, some video games are more specific.
No, absolutely, James, you are absolutely right. The correct way to play a game is to have fun. That is...
Yeah, the correct way to use a Furby is to set it on fire for most people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And you know, I'm not going to burst their squee.
Oh, it's on fire and talking. Oh,
you know, that if that's how they want to do it, that's how they want to do it. You know, if people want to send Care Bears to Jenna's house and that's what they enjoy, then that is what they should do. But
the look on Jenna. Oh, I felt
no.
It.
But like
no.
We couldn't.
No.
We had such a hard time because. We would
I have a sunburn from that.
I would push back against her so much, you know, trying to be like, no, we're not, we have to try stuff, you know, and
that's how their first child was born.
And you know, so we would kind of play.
Fine. Don't answer that.
We would kind of play her style until she fell asleep, and then I would play my style, and then we would both be happy. But I think because of that, like I said, I'm going to go with old because it's more of what Jenna was saying. It's that slower pace. It's that, you know, taking time and kind of going, how am I going to work through this, as opposed to that twitchy, got to get through it, you know, thing.
I really enjoy both. I really enjoy, like, you have to try to use the key on every item in order to get it to work.
Clearly, but both have their place, but which one do you lean to?
Yeah, I don't lean to that shit. I have ADHD. Makes that shit real hard.
So do I, which is why I obsess.
Wait, fair. So ADHD, it depends on what you lean towards and what you obsess over. Where you obsess over those, like, riddles, and you will get hyper-focused on those riddles. Mm-hmm. I get hyper-focused on this shawl that I'm a decent way into 3 days later.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it really depends. So that's not something that I would sit still for, because I'm not, like, super invested in that. I'm more invested in the story than the puzzle. Mm. So I would be very much like your wife and be like, no, let's just keep going. Because, like, no.
I think, as much as it pains me, I side with Salsa on this. Because I can appreciate both, but, like, given the ability to binge watch things, I would prefer to watch a small number of things at a time and to process something slowly.
Oh,
so also, like Jenna said, but not for the reason that she said. I appreciate the speed of older video games because you can really drink them in. It's actually the same reason that I enjoy Breath of the Wild, because I like climbing up onto something and then looking out and seeing everything that I've accomplished and, like, drinking in the vista of things instead of having that immediate next thing to do.
Breath of the Wild is the Miyazaki of video games.
Well, there's that.
And I feel like this could be possibly, you know, down to the nostalgia of that older game, because when I was playing, you know, like when I was playing Space Quest 2, the only way to get a hint was to call a toll-free number, you know, and so, you know, because internet didn't fucking exist back then,
right?
You know, and so. Like, the only way to, if you're absolutely fucking stuck, my parents would let us make one phone call a day. And it was, so we had to figure out what clue do we want today. And then we would have to make a phone call, you know, to get this one hint that we're looking for, you know.
So
it had, you know, that it was either brute force this shit or wait. And so when I am playing that style of game, I have all the patience in the world. You know, because I can work on it for 2 hours and then Google something, and that is lightning speed, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, for my wife, 5 minutes of sitting there is already time to hit the hint button, and that just... So.
What I will say is that, one, I ended up calling one of those hotlines one time for Sonic 3, because there is a game mechanic that is impossible to figure out. And actually, when I called, before they started charging, they were like, are you stuck on this place in Sonic 3?
Oh, they charge? No, this was fine.
That must be nice for you.
The only reason my parents let us do it.
Oh, fair, yeah.
What I'm talking about more is, like, so I love Breath of the Wild. I adore Breath of the Wild, partially because it takes a Miyazaki pace, right? You climb up that mountain and you get to that top, that mountaintop, and there's a feeling of satisfaction that you didn't fall off the fucking cliff. But I think that, and I've watched YouTube videos about how Breath of the Wild is more user friendly than, say, Ocarina of Time, right? They put in, there's a YouTuber who had to a series of video games and started her like fucking Red Dead Redemption or some shit. Yeah. And
Dark Souls.
Yeah.
What a monster.
He was a fucking monster. But he had his wife play Breath of the Wild and he sits back and he doesn't say anything. And she played the game differently than he did, but it still worked.
Right.
She found ways around things that he wouldn't have thought of being a gamer and having been trained in video games since he was little.
Yeah.
That still worked in Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah, it rewards you for coming up with a solution, even if it's not the solution that the developers themselves had in mind.
Mm. Right.
Like, there are puzzles, and I feel like I'm not ruining this for anybody because it's now 3 years old. There are puzzles that require electric connection, and you're supposed to use metal boxes and stuff, but if you're carrying metal items, those also conduct electricity.
I use those.
So you can solve the puzzle with the boxes like you're supposed to, or you can just lay a bunch of pole arms and stuff across the thing and solve it that way, which is stupendous. Mm-hmm. That's such a reward for people who haven't built up a vocabulary in gaming.
Right, because for people who have built up a vocabulary, they're like, oh, boxes, great.
Right.
But for people who haven't, right. So that's,
yeah,
that's awesome. I think that what you said about timing was very interesting, and like not being able to click Google for a hint button is very interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and I remember that the Zork hint system was roundly, resoundingly unhelpful. It was hilarious.
Indeed. All right. Well, that has been a Fast Five. Thank you so very much to Bryn for the Fast Five. Woo! If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us the context. We are out, which is why Bryn did it this week, and so you should send that in. Who's got what's the word I'm looking for?
Shout out.
Air conditioners. Oh my God, air conditioners. Air conditioning, air conditioners.
Air conditioning. All right.
Shout out to teachers who fucking made it this year.
Woo! They're here. James? All right, while you're thinking, I've got one.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my shout out to a couple websites. These are websites that I have found invaluable to me being a Renaissance Festival performer. The first one is called fairfinder.com, F-A-I-R-E, finder, fairfinder.com, and the second one being the Ren List, and therenlist.com. Both of them have good directories and searchable databases for different Renaissance festivals throughout the country and when they're going on, and some of them have different stats on each festival, like who the headliner for this festival is, and what the jousting troupe is, and you know, kind of ticket prices and stuff like that. And one I will say is the Ren List. If you are a Renaissance Festival performer, what you can do is you basically sign up for an account and prove you're a Renaissance Festival performer. You can kind of get into the back area, which has contact information for vendors and entertainment directors and campgrounds and stuff like that. You do have to show that you are a performer. You can't just be a patron and get into that backstage area. But each of those two websites has different pros and cons to them, but both of them, like I said, are absolutely invaluable for me to kind of plan out my festival year. So I wanted to give them a quick shout out. So,
James, can I give a quick shout out while he's drinking?
I mean, you already gave one, but I suppose that's okay.
Go for it.
Knit and Bolt an online quarantine mystery pack where you give them a word of inspiration and they send you a certain price point of yarn or fabric for you to use. And it is a mystery pack and it's so wonderful. And I love them. And they're a small business local to Minneapolis. So, and they send it to you. So, Knit and Bolt.
All right. Send me a link.
Yeah. Will do.
My shout out is to the internet. As problematic as it often is, the connectedness that we have globally and the entertainment that we receive, including, I guess, to an extent, this podcast, and our ability to order things and to look at products and to get food and all of that stuff, everything that we do during this time now is dramatically improved in many ways by being connected to a massive global network.
Sweet.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Who's got something to plug?
I do.
Okay.
I am not in it, but it is very important. We are very likely doing Vilification Tennis Interrupt Us this Friday. It's a slightly earlier show, 8 p.m. Look for details, and I will send the link to the salsa. It is our plan to donate funds that we receive to progressive causes related to the protests and the rebuilding of the city. And we are also intending to do a matching donation.
Ooh.
Now, depending on what the news is like that day, we may not do a show out of respect. But right now, it is our plan to do a show and to do good work with money that we receive.
All right. Anybody else?
Cool. Go to Adventurous Artists and like it. We are not sure when we're going to be doing our first Fringe Friday, but the information will be there.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay, now. Bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye.
Oh, you do that on your thing?
Does anybody have anything else? All right, any final thoughts? James, that would have been your cue?
Okay. Too late.
Never mind. All right. In that case, thank you so very much to everyone who has been listening to this podcast. Thank you to Bryn Berryhill for being our guest.
Woo!
Thank you for Bryn for also writing our Fast Five. That was very helpful to us.
Thanks for having me on.
As always, we appreciate you very, very much. Keep listening and eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.